The gospel acclamation this morning is, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. From John 12:24. Message this morning. A man is watching television and his wife wants to start a conversation. And here's how it goes. Wife, the water heater pump burst today and flooded the basement. Husband, uh-huh. Wife, the plumber didn't get here today to fix the leak. Husband, quiet, it's third down and goal. Wife, some of the wiring got wet and almost electrocuted Fluffy. Husband, darn it, touchdown. Wife, the vet says he'll be better in a week. Husband, can you get me a beer? Wife, the plumber told me that he was happy that our pipe broke because now he can afford to go on vacation. Husband, aren't you listening? I said I could use a beer. Wife, Ann Stanley, I'm leaving you. The plumber and I are flying to Acapulco in the morning. Husband, can't you please stop all that yakking and get me a beer? The trouble around here is that nobody ever listens to me. Poor guy, nobody was listening. The big to-do in our scripture was somewhat different than a football game. It was 6 days before the celebration of Passover. Passover was a massive celebration in Jerusalem. Josephus, a notable Jewish historian, estimated that over 2 million people were attracted to the great Passover feast. Devout Jews from around the Mediterranean came to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices to God and to pay their half shekel temple tax. We're told that 257,500 lambs were slain, and also each lamb fed 10 worshipers. So if you see what you can see what a crowd was present. If you add zeros after the 2,500, all you have to add is one zero, and you have over 2.5 million people in and around Jerusalem for the Passover. They slaughtered a lot of lambs for a lot of people to make their offering. Among those who came for the celebration were Romans, Persians, Syrians, Egyptians, and Greeks. And our lesson opens with Jesus in Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. Bethany was a small village about 1.5 miles from Jerusalem. This was some time after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and in gratitude, Martha and Mary were giving a feast in Jesus' honor. And a large crowd was gathering, not just to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. He had become a celebrity in the area. I can see the headlines now. Bethany man, first to rise from the dead. People were coming to see him, to hear from him what that had been like. A large crowd was there, and Jesus had been a rock star since the beginning of all this. People came from all around for a lot of reasons, mostly just to see him. One Pharisee said to a colleague, "Look how the whole world has gone after him. And among those who came to see him were some Greeks. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida, and Philip's surname was Greek. We're not told what that surname is, but we are told it was Greek, and that his hometown was known as a place where there were numerous Greeks. So the Greeks would appropriately have gone to someone that they thought might identify with them. But Philip didn't go straight to Jesus with their request to see Jesus. First, he went to tell Andrew. And together, they went to tell Jesus that these people wanted to meet with him and see him. Jesus wasn't impressed. He replied, as he often did, with a somewhat cryptic message about his coming death. He concludes his response to them by saying, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Seemingly, this was an audible voice, a voice which could be heard by anyone listening. But notice, John tells us that the crowd that was there and heard the voice heard either thunder rumbling or they heard the sound of angels and thought that the thunder and the angels were for Jesus. However, in response to their reaction, Jesus tells them, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine." That's interesting. God spoke from the heavens, but the people in the area couldn't understand. They simply dismissed it as either thunder or the angels speaking to Jesus. And when I read about this reaction, I thought of the phrase that television shows, Seinfeld, is that what it was? I don't even remember what it was called. But it introduced a phrase to the world that you heard a lot for a while, yada, yada, yada. Remember hearing that? And to me, yada, 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 I translate as blah, 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 because I'm of an older generation. The phrase came to mind as the people were talking about hearing the thunder, blah, 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 hearing angels sing, perhaps, blah, 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 and just let all this go right over their heads. Dr. James B. Limmler was preaching one time about the Trinity, and he told about a couple of parents who had gone home from church, his church, and during lunch the family was talking about his sermon, and their little second grade daughter sitting at the table chimed in and says, "Oh, Father Limmler's sermons, they're always the same. You know, blah, 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 love. Blah, 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 love. They're always the same." Dr. Limmler said that he was amused and thought to himself that the little girl really had it down pat. The message, the repetition, the core, and the redundancy. And so it is with the Holy Trinity, says Dr. Limmler, over and over again. Blah, 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 love. Blah, 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 love. God's message always ends with love. God, the Creator, I love you and give you life. God, the Redeemer, I love you and embrace you in that love forever. God, the Spirit, I love you and warm your heart and your soul with my love. Blah, 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 love. I wish that was what the people heard that day when the voice spoke from heaven. But instead, they heard the blah, blah, blahs of life. But Mark describes it like this. The crowd that was there and heard the voice said it had thundered. And here's the truth of the matter. Many people are so disconnected from God that if God were to speak to them, they would not hear his voice. And they would hear thunder, or some might think that they heard angels speaking to someone else. There's a rather obscure definition of sin in the Bible. It comes from a Hebrew word that means a failure to listen. When we fail to listen, we are cut off from whomever it is that is speaking to us. In George Bernard Shaw's play, St. Joan, which is about Joan of Arc, Joan tells of hearing God's message. She talks to the king, and he doesn't appreciate this crazy lady in armor who insists on leading an army. He's threatened by her. He says to her, oh, your voices, always your voices. Why don't the voices come to me? I am king, not you. And Joan replies, they do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the angelus rings, you cross yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the trilling of the bells in the air after they stop ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do. Joan heard the voice of God. The king, if he heard anything at all, heard only thunder. Why? Because she was listening for that voice. Some people are so connected from God, disconnected from God, that they don't hear God's voice. Other people are preoccupied with their own pursuits, that they're unaware when God speaks to them. There's a time-honored story about an old farmer whose nephew persuades him to come and visit in the big city. The farmer goes, and the young man proudly took his uncle on a tour of the large metropolis. At one point, they walked along a street that the old man was trying to look at, and suddenly he stopped and asked, did you hear that? The nephew looked at him, and with all the pedestrians milling around and the traffic and everything, he said, hear what? A cricket, the old man said. As he had walked towards a little tuft of grass growing out of a crack, and he reached down, and sure enough, tucked in the grass was a little cricket. The young man was amazed. How in the world could you hear that with all of this bedlam going on all around? The old farmer reached into his pocket, pulled out some coins, and dropped them on the sidewalk. And people all around them stopped and started to look down on the ground to see what coins had fallen and make sure they hadn't lost any. The old man observed, we hear what our ears are trained to hear. Let me say that again. We hear what our ears are trained to hear. Psychologist Eldon Langler says that many people are so preoccupied with their daily tasks that they rarely listen to those around them. It's like the little game that children play. What do you call a tree that has acorns? What do you call a tree that has acorns? Oh, thank you. What do you call a funny story? A joke. What do we call the sound made by a frog? Croak. What do we call the white of an egg? How many of you said yoke? Most people say yoke. And it's because just three little lines before that, we learn that the sound the word's going to end in is oak, and we don't pay much attention beyond that. The answer, of course, is the white of the egg. How well do we listen to the things and the people around us? How well do we listen to God? There's a story about young Ray Charles, who of course is blind. And when he was quite young, he called for his mother one day as he's on the floor in their cabin. And she stops. She doesn't go right to him. She just stops and watches. And he sat up, listening. And he crawled along the floor and found a cricket, another cricket, maybe the one that was in the metropolis. And he took the cricket in his hands, and he said to his mother, "Mama, I heard the cricket, and I hear you too." She stood there and she cried, because she knew that he would need to learn to hear as well as all of us can see. And of course he did. He did. Really listen. Listen to those around you. Listen to God. It's important to know that God does speak, even to those who do not really listen. Not audibly, perhaps. We worry when somebody says they hear voices, as perhaps we should. It is most likely that the voice of God is an inner voice, a silent voice. I like to call them, as you know, those little nudges that we get. May not even be verbal sometimes. God can speak to us through a friend. He might speak to us through a strong emotion. Someone says, "I felt God telling me I should support that mission project." And I'm confident that God did. The untapped resource with the greatest power in the world is the unheeded voice of God in human affairs. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not for mine." Many of us were moved a few years back when the story came out about the DC snipers. Remember that? When the snipers were active in Washington, DC, Maryland, Virginia. A trucker, Ron Lance, a resident of Kentucky, was listening to a radio show one time when he heard a description of the car being sought by the police. And not too long after that, he noticed a car that just matched that description, a Chevy Caprice at a Maryland rest stop, and called 911. Now, he wasn't the only one to call 911 at that time, but he did play an important part in capturing the snipers. He and another driver blocked the two exits from the rest area so that the Caprice could not pull out and get on the highway. In essence, they boxed him in. Now, that's not all he did. As verified by several reliable sources, about a week before, he had heard on the radio of another report, and he decided somebody needed to pray about this. So he got on his CB radio and sent out a call to any other truckers who were in that area and told them about a certain place to meet for prayer. And when he pulled into that particular rest stop, There were already about 50 trucks there. And everybody got out of their cabin and got in a circle and held hands. And there were about 70 people, because some of the truckers had wives and children with them. And for 1 hour, they stood holding hands and lifting up prayer to God about this issue. May they stop. Prayer works. They all knew to pray for this tragedy to end. Mother Teresa of Calcutta put it this way: we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. The moon and sun, how they move in silence. See also the stars. The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. We need silence to be able to touch souls. The essential thing is not what we say, but what God says to us and through us. God spoke, but all that most people heard was thunder. How about you? Do you sometimes hear God's voice speaking? Do you hear and feel his love? In the midst of all of the blah, blah, blah of life, God speaks to you of love. You are my beloved children. Come, I am your God, and you are my people. Thanks be to God. Amen.